So for some of you, you may not have clocked this, but I've been at this church now for 10 years full time, 13 years if you include the 3 years before that. So when I first got to know some of you, I had a lot more hair than I have now, and less grey hairs than I have now. I don't know what the connection there is at all. I'll leave you to draw any conclusion that you wish to from that. But over these last three Sundays, we've been able to look at some of the themes of those 10 or 13 years, things that have been quite important for me and for the church here, and which I believe should remain so as we move forward. So we talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that we are called to be a missional people, that God has entrusted to us the mission that he left his disciples. He's now given that to the church, to us. And we were reminded that whether in ministry or in the marketplace, we are all, as followers of Jesus, called to love God, Amen. To love others, and to make disciples. Last week, we looked at the theme of God's grace and the fact that we are called to be a gracious people. And we were reminded that both we are recipients of God's grace, but secondly, we are also those who are agents of God's grace. We receive God's grace freely, and Jesus says, as you have given, as you have received freely, then freely give. We are called to give that grace away in our interactions with people. And that leads us to today and the third. Any ideas what the third might be? And I'm not going to disclose it at this point, but you can guess. You don't have to guess.
Give us a clue.
It's there. It's harvest. There you go. It kind of just, how does that work out? It just ties in to harvest. I don't know how that, just amazing how these things happen. There's your clue. Giving, blessing, okay, right. Let me read you a psalm. I could have picked any number of passages to do with this theme, but I've gone to one of my favourite psalms, a psalm that I love, Psalm 145. So let me read it to you. I'll exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. So.
Praise. Is it praise?
No. Good guess though. Abundance? No.
Worship?
No. Let me put the key verse on there.
Faithfulness.
It's there, look. Faithfulness. That felt you well. Faithfulness. It's a theme that I want to focus on just for a moment. First of all, to remind us that God is faithful. The harvest promise comes in Genesis chapter 8. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Is that true? Not convinced, are we? There has always, always, always been a harvest. Now, obviously, in some parts of the world, they don't have a harvest. But across the world, there's always been a harvest. There's always, always, always been enough food to go around. See, the problem is not with God's provision. The problem is with man and how we make that provision available to people. While there are food mountains in the West, there are people without food in the developing countries. Is there enough food to go around? Is there a harvest? Well, there is, yes. God has always provided. The reality, though, is that we look at our world and it's broken. We've seen the earthquakes this week in Mexico, the floods in all over the world. And we're going to take a moment now just to pause and to pray for our world. For those things, those areas where there is real devastation, for the Caribbean. And you may be areas of the world that are particularly kind of real to you, and you want to pray specifically for those areas. Well, we're going to have the opportunity in the quiet that happens now as our leaders in prayer for you to pray for those areas that are on your heart. Doesn't surprise us, perhaps, to think that actually man has also contributed to the problem, doesn't he? And we see what's happening in North Korea and America, and we need to pray for God's protection and peace upon those nations for a breakthrough to come. So let's take a moment just to pray for our world, its brokenness, and for those areas, those people who are suffering as a result of that brokenness. Father, we thank you for that promise that you have kept forever, for eternity, that you have always provided. You have always met the needs of your people. But forgive us, Lord Jesus, when we are selfish, where we do not share, where it becomes about us, whether that's us personally, but also us as a nation, and us as a perhaps the West, the developed world. Forgive us where our selfishness and our greed has taken over. And Father, we are mindful, as we have watched the news again this week, of the pain that there is of living in a broken world. The brokenness of creation. We pray for those areas of the world where there is suffering as a result of what many would call natural disasters. We pray for those areas of the world that are suffering because of man's sin, selfishness, arrogance, pride, jealousy. We pray for those areas of the world where there is real hatred between brother, between family members, between tribes. Lord Jesus, we pray for our world. We cry out to you, Lord God, for your sovereign hand to be upon the nations. Thank you that you are a God who cares for the vulnerable, who has a particular heart for the widow and for the oppressed, for the orphan. Lord, we pray for a stirring and a protection of those who are most vulnerable in our world at this time. So Lord, please hear our prayers, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Numbers, this is recorded. God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. You see, God is not like us. God does not forget. God cannot lie. God cannot break a promise. And when God says to us, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease, we can trust that as a true statement because it is who God is. He can be nothing else than faithful to his word and faithful to his promise. We judge God by our standards rather than going, okay, no, that doesn't work, does it? God is so different to us. He is not human. We must not judge him by human standards and think of him as a human being. When God speaks, when God promises, he will never break that promise. Do you believe it? Well, see, if we believe that statement is true, that God has never broken a promise, we can't just walk away from that and go, well, so what? And just carry on. It does not give us the option. So these promises over these last three Sundays, these last two Sundays, Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Those of us who choose to follow Jesus, God promises that he will be with us always. So when we feel like he's distant, is he? No. Why? Because he has promised that he will always be with us. We may not feel that he's close to us. We may not feel like he's there, but he is because, why? He has promised it. And he can never break a promise. If it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not for yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So the promise of God is that if we come to God and we ask him, he will save us. Why? Because it's nothing to do with what we have done, how good we are, what we have achieved. It is all to do with what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Entering into that relationship with God that we were created for, that we sang about earlier, is not dependent on me and what I do and whether I'm good or not good, whether I go to church or don't go to church, whether I'm a nice person or not a nice person. It's irrelevant because it's not about me. The promise is it's by grace we have been saved, not by works. Nobody can earn their way into heaven. None of you, none of me. We can't do it. We can't earn our way. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about what he has done for us. And the promise is if we come to him, he will receive us because of the grace that he has for us. Talking of grace, there's another promise. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is, it's okay. Sufficient. What does sufficient mean? It means it's everything that we need. The promise is there. Everything that you need comes through God's grace. Again, if we believe that, it changes the way that we walk, the way that we live, the way that we are. Which is what it should do. See, all these promises are true and they will stand the test of time. They will stand for eternity because God has spoken them. And God is not a human being. God does not lie. Now, as a church, over these last 10 or 13 years, year by year, we set a budget and we haven't got a clue how God's going to provide for it and how we're going to get through the year. We're still here. I've still been paid every month. Some months it's been quite tight, but every month I've been paid. How? I don't know. on the wall there, 31st of August 2012, the church bought a manse, bought a house. How? Don't know. God provided. Did we put appeals out? Did we have steeples and all that kind of stuff? No. We prayed. And God provided. Why? Because God is faithful. And when God calls, he provides. When God said to us 13 years ago and to the church here, this is how we want it to be. This is the next part of your journey. He promised to provide for us. And he has never, ever failed us. Have there been times where I've gone, okay, God, this is a bit tight? Of course I have. But he has never failed us. These past 13 years have reminded us as a church time and time again of his faithfulness. Amen. Every year we have a harvest service which reminds us of God's faithfulness. Now again, different contexts, we don't do harvest the same way as they used to do. But nonetheless, it is a practical and tangible reminder of God's faithfulness to that promise that he made way back in Genesis 8. God is faithful to his promises. Do you know that? Because if you know that and believe that, it will change the way that you live your life. The trouble is, for so many of us, and I speak to myself as well, we kind of say it and we give lip service to it and then we try and carry on and live our lives as we want to anyway. We say yes, but then we kind of carry on our own little path. We say, yes, we believe that you'll provide for us, but we try and provide for ourselves anyway, just in case God doesn't quite do it. God says, trust me. Trust me. I will never, ever fail you. So that's the first point. God is faithful. The second point is this. I want to focus on the faithfulness of the saints. Next Sunday, we'd love to see you back. Okay, can't promise you a lunch. All right, I can promise you communion. So bread and wine—that's kind of something, isn't it? But it's not a full meal. It's a communion meal and a fellowship meal. But we'd love to see you back next Sunday. And next Sunday we start a new series as we look at the life of Joshua, the book of Joshua, in the Old Testament. Under the title, Living Out a Courageous Faith. The call of Joshua to the people and to us to live for God. In Numbers chapter 13, there's a little bit of homework for you this afternoon. Once you've gone back and you've, after your lunch, you've had your sleep, you've slept off your lunch, you know, and then you kind of wake up and go, now what am I going to do? Rather than put EastEnders on, the omnibus version, you know, pick up your Bible and read Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, Joshua and Caleb are chosen, along with 10 others from the nation of Israel, to go into the land of Canaan to spy out the land and to check it out and to see what they think. They're sent in and they come back and they report back at the end of chapter 13 of Numbers, it's recorded. They report back and Joshua and Caleb, the two spies, go, this is fantastic. So good. Okay, yeah, there's some big people there, but so good. We've got a bigger God. So good. The 10 come back and go, nah. Nah, if we go in there, we're going to get mullered. We're going to get absolutely squashed. It's not worth it. Yes, there's nice things, but we can't do it. In chapter 14, so the next chapter, you find that God speaks to the nation and goes, do you know what, guys? What on earth are you doing? The people believe the 10 and ignore the 2. They go, well, we don't want to go. And God goes, I've kind of brought you all this way for you to go. I don't want to go. I've given you manna and quail. I've provided for you. The whole thing of the exodus out of Egypt. That kind of walking through the Red Sea thing. And you still don't trust me? Seriously? What's going on? And God says to those, okay, guys, I'm sorry. You've made a decision. The 10 will die. But I will save Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of the whole nation of Israel who were entered the promised land. Everyone else died in that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua knew what it is to be faithful to God. At the start of his book, and we're going to look at this next Sunday, in chapter 1, he calls the people to that life of obedience, that faithful service of God. And they go, yeah, we'll do it. And then they kind of wander off, and 23 chapters of them kind of making it all, getting it all wrong-ish. Chapter 24, the last chapter, we find these words. Now fear the Lord and serve him. This is Joshua speaking. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Right at the end of his life, he says to the people, do you know what, folks? I'm choosing to serve God. I'm choosing to live my life faithfully to God. And you read the life of Joshua. Did he make mistakes? Of course he did. He was a human being. Did he get it wrong? Of course he did. But as a leader, he sought to be faithful in leading the people. From that moment when he was appointed by Moses as his understudy, as he went into the land and he came back and he said, do you know what? God is going to go before us and give us this land. He remained faithful to God throughout his life. These three Sundays have been about themes over these last 10 to 13 years. And God has been faithful to us as a church. God has been faithful to us as a family. But I also want to stand and commend the faithfulness of the saints of this church. You see, if it wasn't for those who had gone before us, who faithfully met here week in, week out, there would not be a church here now. We would not be meeting in this way. If there are people who hadn't given sacrificially and prayed continuously for this church to continue to grow, we wouldn't be here now. You see, there are people who have gone before us, on whose shoulders we stand. And I want to commend their faithfulness to the Lord. They have served the Lord faithfully. And the challenge then comes back to me and to you today. What does that look like for us? Over these 10 to 13 years, there have been many people that have been part of this church, part of the story of this church, part of the journey of this church. And they've been here for a season and they've moved on. They've given, served, moved on. And I thank God for each and every one of them. Because they've been part of shaping what we are today and what we can become as a church in the future. Joshua called the people to live faithfully. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. You see, faithfulness isn't just a thing we attribute to God. Yes, God is faithful. And we're going to close by singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. But the challenge is also for us and for me, as those who choose to follow God, the saints. Are we faithful to God? Are we faithful to one another? Are we faithful in our service of him? Or do we give up, lose heart, get stroppy, throw our dummy out the pram, and the rest of it? What do we do? Joshua said to the people, choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord with all faithfulness. Those 10 years I've been here, it feels like a blink of an eye, to be honest. It's gone so quick. Perhaps it's an age thing, I don't know. Doesn't feel like 10 years. But it's been a real pleasure to be able to lead the church. And these three themes have been true for us over these last 10 to 30 years. And I believe they are significant themes for us to continue to hold on to as we look at the next season of the life of this church. We are a missional people, folks. We need to remember that we are called to make disciples. In all these three themes, let's not forget that God started it. God was the first to be missional. He saw us in our needs and he acted. He came and called us to himself. Each and every one of us is called into that relationship with Jesus. He calls us into that relationship with his Father through his death on the cross. He stepped into our world to save us. So God was missional. And he says to you and to I, now you go do likewise. You go be missional. You go call others to follow me. He showed us his grace first. He revealed his grace to us. And he now says to us, freely you've received, freely give. He has never, ever broken a promise. He has remained faithful to every word that he has ever spoken. But what about us? I want to read a story as I close. And in this story, I think it's a true story, as far as I can tell. It's based on what I've researched. You never can quite be quite sure, but I have no reason to doubt it. But it brings these three values together in a most beautiful way. Before the turn of the 20th century, an asylum in the suburbs of Boston housed severely retarded and disturbed individuals. One of the patients was a girl who was simply called Little Annie. She was totally unresponsive to others in the asylum. The staff tried everything possible to help her, yet without success. Finally, she was confined to a cell in the basement of the asylum and given up as hopeless. A Christian woman worked at the asylum, and she believed that every one of God's creatures needed love, concern, and care. So she decided to spend her lunch hours in front of Little Annie's cell, reading to her and praying that God would free her from her prison of silence. Day after day, the Christian woman came to Little Annie's door and read, but the little girl did not respond. Months went by. The woman tried to talk with Little Annie, but it was like talking to an empty cell. She brought little tokens of food for the girl, but they were never received. Then one day, a brownie was missing from the plate that the caring woman retrieved from Little Annie's cell. Encouraged, she continued to read to her and pray for her. Eventually, the little girl began to answer the woman through the bars of her cell. Soon the woman convinced the doctors that Little Annie needed a second chance at treatment. They brought her up from the basement and continued to work with her. Within 2 years, Little Annie was told she could leave the asylum and enjoy a normal life. She chose not to leave, though. She was so grateful for the love and attention she was given by the dedicated Christian woman that she decided to stay and love others as she had been loved. So Little Annie stayed on at the institution to work with other patients who were suffering as she had suffered. Nearly half a century later, the Queen of England held a special ceremony to honour one of the most inspiring women in the United States, Helen Keller. When asked to what she would attribute her success at overcoming the dual handicap of blindness and deafness, Helen Keller replied, "If it hadn't been for Anne Sullivan, I wouldn't be here today." Anne Sullivan, who tenaciously loved and believed in an incorrigible blind and deaf girl named Helen Keller, was Little Annie. Because one selfless Christian woman in the dungeon of an insane asylum believed that a hopeless little girl needed God's love, the world received the marvellous gift of Helen Keller. That's Helen and Little Annie. There was a nurse a nurse who understood the mission of God. The mission to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. How do I know she made disciples? John chapter 15. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. And Jesus goes on to talk about that fruit being other disciples. You judge what happened by the fruit. And little Annie bore out the fruit that had been invested in her by that nurse. That nurse understood unconditional grace. She understood what it is to care for the unlovely, the outcast, to offer a glass of water or a chocolate brownie in the name of Jesus, as we were challenged last Sunday. And she was faithful, day in, day out. Faithful to the Lord who called her to serve in that way. She chose to serve the Lord. And she chose to serve him faithfully when others gave up. The nurse cared for little Annie. And little Annie became Anne Sullivan, cared for Helen Keller. Who is God calling you and I to care for, to reach out to be faithful to? God is a God who's missional, gracious and faithful. And he calls us to be missional, gracious and faithful. If you believe God's promises are true, you cannot just walk away from it. You cannot. It doesn't allow you that privilege. Because it asks of us to make a response to him. And what response are you going to make this morning? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you have never, ever broken a promise. Thank you that you are true and trustworthy, that your word stands forever. Help us, we pray, to hang on to that, to stand on that word. When everything else around us is shifting and changing, help us to hold on to the thing that does not change, which is you. Father, for some of us here this morning, we believe it. We've kind of talked about it. We've known it. And yet we've never acted upon it. Lord, may today be a day where we put our faith and our trust in you and accept you, what you've offered to us through Jesus as a free gift. Accepting the grace that you give to us. May we put our trust in you. Lord, keep us from just giving lip service again. Father, help us to be those who this day choose to serve you, not the gods of this world. And in choosing to serve you, like Joshua, we choose to serve faithfully. Lord, help us, we pray, to be tenacious, determined, full of grace and truth, but faithful to you. Lord, we offer ourselves in and through the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, would you continue by your Spirit to stir us? The things that we need to respond to, the challenges that we've heard, Lord, help us to make our response appropriately as we sing our last hymn. And we pray this for your sake, Jesus. Amen.